This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
There was indeed smoke in the skies yesterday in PJ when the EPF building on Jalan Gasing caught fire. And of course, in typical fashion, in very short order, there were jokes and there were memes making the rounds, much to the chagrin of Dharam Navaratnam, who decided to write about it on the Malaysian Insight.
Yep. So there's an op-ed titled, "There's No Humour in a Burning Building." As the building burned, there was news going around about the building on fire, pictures, video Correct. Feeds. People traveling along Federal Highway were taking videos and pictures, sending them via WhatsApp, social media platforms, all the usual culprits. There were comments and jokes about how our EPF savings are up in flames. He says some even felt it was prudent to make a reference to the EPF dividend declaration announced just 3 days ago, insinuating that the payout would not be available to members since the building was up in flames.
Yeah, and he was particularly upset at the notion that we were making jokes when people's lives could have been at risk. Of course, no one was hurt in the EPF fire, thank goodness for that. But here's the thing. I think there is an immediate and instant disconnect, isn't there, when we see the image of a building on social media, on Twitter, on Facebook. Social media has that effect. We feel immediately disconnected from it, whether it's a child dead in Syria or a picture of a burning building which is down our street. Somehow we dehumanizes the whole thing and we feel it's okay.
Yeah, I don't know whether we necessarily feel it's okay. I can understand where you're coming from when you say you feel an immediate disconnect. It's just information that we're bombarded with all the time, so it's difficult to feel the connection. But for me, when I saw his article, I thought, yeah, okay, this hit a nerve a little bit because, you know, it was true. So I got the messages too, as we all did. And I think I also joked at first before I thought to even express concern. So, you know, I had to ask myself, you know, how far have I come? How far have we come? Why did I think that way? I mean, we're very much a nation that loves to sit on the high horse of respect, right? Respect to parents, respect to elders, and
sensitivity,
honorific. So, you know, where did it go in this instance, right? Because it's plain respect for human life. So that's where my mind went a little bit.
Okay, yeah. So I have a very unpopular opinion about this. I think when it comes to humor, nothing is sacred. I think it's okay to joke about everything, but I believe that there are certain maybe factors that come into play as to when you can do it. Now, this isn't the first time we've kind of questioned whether Malaysians lack this sensitivity chip. Actually, back in 2014, as we were searching for answers in the wake of MH370, you know, cartoonists and netizens were making jokes about the developments that were being made around the case. And some people laughed, others thought it was either too soon or downright inappropriate.
Yep. So following that incident, we actually spoke with Peter McGraw, that's a marketing and psychology professor from the University of Colorado Boulder, to find out if there's some jokes that just shouldn't be told.
So in our vernacular, a joke's offensive when there's nothing okay about it. It's just purely wrong. It's a purely violating situation. And is it possible that even with the passage of a great deal of time, that joke can remain offensive? I think so. Actually, I think sometimes jokes become more offensive over time. So in the United States, for instance, one thing that's happening is there's just a greater acceptance of gay and lesbian relationships. And so if you look back at a lot of comedy in the 70s and 80s, it actually seems horribly bigoted now. So you would think that the passage of time might help those jokes, but they don't. They actually just seem really insensitive, in part because people's beliefs, what they see as wrong and okay, has changed with time.
Right. Time isn't the only factor that determines whether a joke is funny. Distance plays a part as well.
So what happens is what's wrong and okay depends a little bit on social distance. Are you close to the person who's being affected, or are you not close? Are they a stranger? There's this form of distance where you just have physical distance, where tragedies in your backyard are much more threatening than tragedies halfway around the globe. And then tragedies in your mind aren't as bad as tragedies in reality. So if you think about a lot of cartoon comedy, they actually play on really, really big violations. Because it's a cartoon, it's so clear that it's not real. So you've been seeing this idea with the lost plane, where I think Americans, because they're really quite distant, they're distant socially, they're distant with regard to the physical location, I think they feel a little bit more comfortable making jokes about this situation. And if the roles were reversed, if it was a plane, you know, filled with U.S. passengers somewhere in the Atlantic, you wouldn't be seeing these same kind of jokes.
Now, Peter is also the director of the Human Research Lab, where he studies what makes things funny. So he talked about meeting with one of the head writers of The Onion, which is this hugely populist satirical newspaper in the States. And he learned that making jokes after a tragedy can work if you target the right people.
They avoided the too soon problem. They had an issue that they dedicated to 9/11. It came out about 10 or 11 days after the attacks. But what they did was they picked the right victim of their jokes. They didn't make fun of the people affected by the World Trade Center attacks. They made fun of the terrorists. So they took the scary people and knocked them down a couple pegs by pointing out how dumb they were, by making them seem like buffoons in the eyes of the audience. And so in that way, my comedian friends are right when they say it's not too soon if it's funny.
That was Peter McGraw, a marketing and psychology professor who we spoke to back in 2014 about making jokes in the face of tragedy. Now, to get a professional take on what's happening in our present-day kerfuffle, we cross over now to Douglas Lim, one of our all-time favorite stand-up comedians. Douglas, it's great to have you with us. What do you think? Is it okay to make these jokes? How soon is too soon?
I think you can always make jokes about things like this, is whether or not you broadcast the joke. You don't mean any harm or you don't cause any hurt to people who may have relatives or friends in that event. I mean, there are 9/11 jokes now. There are Diana jokes, now, I think about 2 years after. So there is no set time, really. It's more of just the intention. Like, is it okay to make jokes about MH370 ever? Because, you know, the plane is not found. And so the fate of these people are still, you know, technically unknown. So a joke is something that just happens. It pops in my head for people who have this instinct. So you can't stop that. What you can stop is broadcasting it. You don't need to tell everyone this brilliant joke you just thought of and share it. A lot of people do that just because they want, you know, they like their attention. But for every person that laughs, you will get some people who are offended. So that's a risk you take.
And are there topics, Douglas, that you find sacred and would never joke about? Or perhaps, you've made a joke before and then later realized that you crossed the line?
Because I am a comedian and generally someone who's very obsessed with comedy, I would say no joke or no topic is sacred. I would be able to joke about anything. You've got to understand, at the core of almost every joke, there is a victim, okay? Can bring this down to even basic level clowning, which is for a child, the earliest form of jokes is the clowns, right? You go and watch circus, it's clowns or cartoons. The clown slips down, he basically hurts himself, but that's the joke, you know. So comedy will always have a victim. Why it works in a circus, why it works in a cartoon is we know the clown is not really hurt, it's benign, it's an act. So when this is applied to real events, like you actually see someone walking and slipping and falling, yes, our first instinct is, oh my God, that's funny, but you don't laugh because he actually got hurt. So you go and help, unless you know he's not hurt. Like he slips, he falls, and even he smiles at himself, then you can laugh. There's no malice and there's no harm involved. That being said, I don't remember if I've told any jokes where I came to realize later that I might have crossed the line. I do recall a lot of instances where people tell me I've crossed the line. I have a slight issue with that. And then, well, it's your opinion. You decide where the line is. I didn't know where you put the line and I crossed it. All right, fine. If I told a joke and only 5% of the audience laughed and the rest of the 95 like you thought I crossed the line, then perhaps I did cross the line and that gives you some sort of validation. But if 95% of people laughed and took it as a joke, then maybe you need to check yourself.
Yeah, this op-ed paints a rather grim picture of us as a people. Do you think that it's harder to make people laugh these days?
No, of course not. It is just the fact that a lot of people now have an avenue to voice out their opinion. So usually when you're happy and you're contented about something, you won't say it. You won't post it. Oh, I was really happy about this. It's when you are unhappy, when you want to vent. So then these voices come out. So when these voices come out, it seems like, oh, people are getting too sensitive. Actually, no, a lot of people are fine. When I read the article, I mean, okay, that's his opinion. I'm sure maybe he was upset at the amount of jokes. But I don't know why his feed was so full of jokes, only because my feed had a lot of concerned people asking if anybody was hurt. There were jibes, there were jokes. And like a simple thing, another building that was on fire is the religious schools. No one made jokes about that. So, I mean, to then round up Malaysians and say that we have become so myopic, maybe you need a bit more research, a bit more evidence to show that, because I don't think his evidence was sufficient to make such a statement. But he said, well done, Malaysia, so I'll take that compliment.
Right, okay. So to end things on a slightly lighter note, Douglas, what can Malaysians always have a laugh about?
Jokes about ourselves. And that's not unique to Malaysia. I mean, Icelanders like jokes about Icelanders. Singaporeans like jokes about Singaporeans. We like jokes that resonate with us, whether it's our eating habits, the fact that we're late, the fact that we're a complaining country, well, the fact that we have first world problems existing alongside third world problems, like real problems, so we like stuff like that. Especially we like things that is taboo in the mainstream. And Malaysia, there's so many things that are taboo in the mainstream. So when they come out in alternative media and alternative sources like stage stand-up comedy or like in cartoons and satire artwork, people like that because you don't get that daily. Unlike in America or in England, these topics that are, in a sense, taboo is nighttime television. It's on every day.
Yeah.
Malaysia is not. So Malaysians like that. They like what they can't get.
It's like living on the edge, isn't it?
Yeah, pretty much. Thank you so much, Douglas, for speaking with us. That was stand-up comedian Douglas Lim with his take on whether it's okay to crack a joke in the face of a disaster or calamity. We want to know what you think as well. Call us on 03-7710-9000 or tweet us at BFM Radio and let us know if you think making jokes about our pension funds going up in smoke is funny or not.
I wouldn't say it's funny at all if that did happen. So, yeah.
Just, 2 days before Chinese New Year as well, it's kind of scary, right, to make such a joke. We've got Paul J on the line. Paul.
Hi, Paul.
Hey.
Good evening.
Hi, good evening, guys.
Good evening.
What a lovely topic. What a salient topic for this whole season. I've got lots to agree with the previous speakers. I'm guess what? I'm in a jam in the rain as well.
Oh, of course you are.
This always happens with all three of us.
So, Paul.
Something to laugh about.
Psychologically speaking, Paul. Psychologically speaking, why do you think... we have these limits as to when we can make a joke about tragedy or disaster, and when is it okay to laugh and when isn't it?
Okay, that kind of response is controlled by the norm, and it's sometimes controlled by the dictating norm, the powerful norm.
Yeah.
However, the ability to cope with disaster, cope with anything, involves things like laughter, crying, depression, anything like that. So it's a normal response, but the norm decides whether you can laugh about it, cry about it, etc., etc.
Mm-hmm.
And when it becomes dysfunctional, we call it inappropriate, and then you go and see a psycho after that.
Mm-hmm.
However, part of the definition of drama is the accentuation and dramatization of real-life issues.
Yeah.
And real-life issues are personal concerns. So when you have someone killing someone kissing someone falling in love with someone, a fire burning... Your basic innate emotions are fired up, and you express this in various ways. Now, we cannot blame the government for saying, oh, you burnt our funds up.
No, but Paul, let me ask you, so your basic emotions are fired up. Can I very quickly ask you that, depending on what the emotion is, does that say anything about us? So if your first instinct is to laugh at it, what does it mean? It means we have no empathy. What does it mean?
It means I'm a sociopath, Caroline.
Sometimes it means we can't do anything else about it but to laugh.
Mm-hmm.
Because the dots form a line that we say, oh, we can't do anything about it, nothing but to laugh. And that itself is immunologically and coping-wise quite good. It's a very good response. However, what they're going to ask, there's a lot of questions coming out of it. My take on this is, do not stop anybody else from laughing. It's a normal response. However, put it into context. It's a very important thing. Laughter is part of the context of life.
Absolutely.
Thank you very much, Paul J, for that call. It is the best medicine.
It is. Remember to throw your head back and ha ha ha.
We've got some Buddy Holly coming your way with Every Day on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.